You are listening to Pardes from Jerusalem, the weekly Parsha podcast from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit www.elmad.pardes.org.
The Passover Seder. One of the most complex and meaningful meals that we experience as Jews is the Passover Seder. As its name implies, the Seder involves an organization of things. There is an order of steps in which things are done. And the word Seder indicates that it has some complexity. The Seder was created by the early rabbis as a platform for the discussion of the Exodus from Egypt. And they structured it around the consumption of four separate glasses of wine. To drink wine was a sign of emancipation and freedom. Slaves don't drink wine. And the four cups indicated in a very, very clear way that on this night we are free. The four cups of wine also serve as natural breaks in the order of the Seder. The first cup of wine is taken at the Kiddush, which is the statement of the sanctification of the day. As we begin the telling of the story, the Haggadah, we pour a second cup of wine, which we will drink at the end of that telling. The third cup of wine is related to the actual meal. And as we recite the Birkat HaMazon, the grace after the meal, we do so with a cup of wine in our hand. The last cup of wine pertains to the recitation of the Hallel, the special song of praise taken from Sefer Tehillim that highlights the unique joy and celebration of the evening. The Seder night includes many different mitzvot, many different commands. Some of these mitzvot are deoraita, or Torahitic in origin, such as the consumption of the matzah, or the telling of the story of the Exodus. Some of these mitzvot are rabbinic in origin, the drinking of the four cups, the consumption of the bitter herbs, these days when there is no temple or Passover sacrifice. The centerpiece of the Seder, though, is clearly the telling of the story of the Exodus from Egypt. Actually, we commemorate the Exodus from Egypt daily as part of the recitation of the Shema. In the third paragraph of the Shema, we remember that God brought us out of the land of Egypt. Ani Hashem Elokeichem asher hotzeiti etchem me'eretz Mitzrayim lihiyot lachem lelukim. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt in order to be your God. The early commentaries were intrigued by the difference between the mitzvah of telling the story of the Exodus as we fulfill it on Seder night versus the daily mitzvah of recounting the Exodus from Egypt. And they explained that these two mitzvot differ fundamentally. The Exodus that we mention as part of the Shema is simply a reference. We note it. We mention it, we remember it, but we do not elaborate upon it. At the Seder, however, when we tell the story of the Exodus, we do so in a very elaborate fashion. We go into detail, we discuss, we ask questions, we offer answers. Therefore, The mitzvah of telling the story of the Exodus on Seder night is a separate mitzvah than the daily mention of Exodus that we do in the Shema. And this is, of course, highlighted by the fact that we refer to this mitzvah as the Haggadah. The Haggadah is the text that we use as the template to tell the story. L'hagid in Hebrew is to recount. But surprisingly, the root of the word Haggadah, the root of the word l'hagid, or the root of the word magid, which is that section of the Haggadah devoted to the story, is the very same root, but not an obvious one to the uninitiated. The root of the words Haggadah, Magid, and Lehagid is actually Nun, Gimel, Dalad, Neged. In conjugation, the Nun of the root falls out to be replaced by a Dagesh in the letter Gimel. But by recognizing that the root of the word is actually Nun, Gimel, Dalad, we understand something about the nature of the telling. Nun Gimel Dalet, or Neged, means opposite. Often it describes a spatial relationship, one object opposite another. Sometimes it can describe a confrontational relationship, people that are in opposition. But whatever the usage of the root Neged, it is always a relational word. It describes something in relation to something else. By referring to the story of the Exodus as the Haggadah, and the act of telling that story as Lehagid, the rabbis are deliberately telling us something terribly significant about how we tell the story. This is not a passive retelling in which one person shares an account and the listeners passively take it in and don't react. The Haggadah is meant to be dynamic. It's meant to be a give and take. It's meant to be relational. When we tell the story of the Exodus through the medium of the Haggadah, we engage in discussion. We engage in reflection. We engage in question and an answer. And we are transformed by that telling of the story. One might say that that is the essential difference between the daily mitzvah of remembering the Exodus and the special mitzvah of telling the story of the Exodus on Pesach night. The daily mitzvah is simply a trigger, a cue, a memory, a mention of that which was, foundational as it was. But in the Magid we are transformed through the telling, through the engagement, through the dynamic quality of the question and the answer. And it is effectively questions and answers which form the basis of the Haggadah structure. After an initial introduction, Halach Ma'anya, in which we highlight the matzah and invite those who do not have to partake with us, we immediately launch into a series of questions. Ma nishtana halayla hazeh mikol halaylot? How is this night different from all the other nights? The original version of these questions is found in the Mishnah in Psachim, chapter 10, Mishnah 4. And there the Mishnah indicates, Mazgulo kos sheni. They pour the second cup of wine, vikan Haben Shoel. And this is where the child asks. And if the child does not know to ask, says the Mishnah, his parent must teach him. How is this night different from all other nights? Of course, already in the Exodus account in Sefer Shmot, there is an idea of the children asking questions. You shall tell your child on that day. When your children ask, you will tell them. That is essentially the inspiration for the Manishtana. But by preserving the question-answer format in the construction of the Seder, the rabbis are also introducing the possibility of engagement and dynamism in the telling of the story. And just as there are four cups of wine, there are four questions. The number four seems to color much of the structure of the Seder. So the four questions are asked. How is this night different from all the other nights? On this night we eat matzah. On this night we eat maror. On this night we dip our food. And on this night we recline. The questions are meant to encourage discussion. Discussion about liberation. Discussion about freedom. We recline because we are free. We eat maror because we remember what slavery was. We dip because that is the manner of aristocrats. We eat matzah because matzah reminds us of the narrative of the Exodus. So the questions are asked in the Haggadah, and the answer is given. Avadim hayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. We were slaves to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt, and God brought us forth with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. The Haggadah continues, blessed be the omnipresent, blessed be him. Blessed be God who gave Torah to the people of Israel, to his people Israel, blessed be him. So the basic structure is a structure of questions, four of them, manishtana, an answer to the questions, a fundamental answer, we were slaves in the land of Egypt, that's why this night is different, and some sort of a statement of gratitude. Blessed be God who brought us forth. This template of questions, answer, and praise is then repeated a second time as the four sons are introduced. Just as we asked four questions of Manishtana, now we have four sons or children, each of one who asks a different question. And just as we provided an answer to Manishtana, namely that we were slaves in the land of Egypt, we now provide another answer to the questions of the four children. Mitchila ovdei avodah zara hayu avotenu. At the outset, our ancestors were idolaters. But now God has brought us close to serve him. Ve'achshav kervanu hamakom la'avodato. These are two fundamentally different answers. The first answer that we offered to the Manishtana relates to physical enslavement. The story of our liberation is a story of liberation from physical enslavement. We were slaves to Pharaoh in the land of Egypt. But there's another story of liberation which we tell in the Haggadah. When the four children ask their questions in turn, we respond by saying, at the outset, our ancestors were idolaters, and now God has brought us forth to serve him. Which is to say, the parallel to the physical freedom that we enjoyed at the time of the Exodus is the spiritual freedom that potentially comes with it. The freedom from idolatry. The freedom from erroneous beliefs. The freedom from spiritual enslavement to ideas that oppress. That's also liberation. In effect, the Haggadah is indicating that we must keep both of these stories as part of the larger perspective. The Exodus from Egypt was not solely about physical emancipation. Because if we cannot lift ourselves above the mentality of a slave and the belief system of a slave, then we have not achieved freedom at all. The section concludes with another statement of praise. Baruch Shomer Haftachato Yisrael Baruchu, blessed be he who maintained his promise to Israel, blessed be he. The template is therefore identical. Questions, an answer, and praise. Questions, an answer, and praise. In the first part, the answer pertains to physical freedom. And in the second part, the answer pertains to spiritual freedom. And by telling both of these stories, only by telling both of these stories, can we capture the essence of the Exodus moment. Our rabbis teach us, as a general principle, when we tell the story of the Exodus from Egypt, based on the Mishnah that I mentioned earlier, Matchil bignut u'misayem b'shevach, we begin by recounting those things which are unseemly, and we conclude with those things which are praiseworthy. We begin with a story detailing our humble origins, and we conclude with the story of our triumph. And in essence, this is what we are attempting to do. When we recall our physical enslavement, Avadim Hayinu Lefaro B'Mitzrayim, as much as we recall our spiritual enslavement, this enslavement to idolatry, Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avotenu. Because in order to truly appreciate what freedom is, and in order to truly understand the journey that we have embarked upon and the distance that we have covered, it would not be possible to do so without recalling the humblest origins from which we came. From physical slavery and from idolatry. And the Exodus is the story of triumph. The Exodus is the story of transcending both of those forms of slavery. And so the Mishnah says, Matchil bignut u'misayem b'shevach, and we follow that in a very structured way as we tell the story in the Seder, always bearing in mind that this is a story that's predicated upon questions that are asked and answers that are provided. Chag Kasher v'sameach.
Thank you for listening to Pardes from Jerusalem, the weekly Parsha podcast from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. For more original Torah content, visit www.elmad.pardes.org.